Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour podcast, Extra Bits, with me, Harriet Minter, Emma Sexton, and Natalie Campbell. This week, it is, of course, our Badass Balls Ups. Plus, we've got playwright Morgan Lloyd Malcolm, who's telling us all about the woman behind Shakespeare's most incredible sonnets.
The Fempire Strikes Back. Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
Morgan Lloyd Malcolm is playwright and screenwriter, and her newest play, Amelia, has been written specifically for the Globe Theatre, and it's opening this week. Welcome, Morgan. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So, tell us a little bit about who is Amelia.
Well, Amelia Bassano, and then when she was married, she became Amelia Lanier. She was this amazing woman, and she's only up till now really been considered amazing because she's probably one of the better contenders for being Shakespeare's Dark Lady of the Sonnets. And when I looked into her some more, we realised that actually she had so much more about her, namely that she was one of the first English women to publish her poetries, quite a lot of poetry actually, and that would have been a big thing at the time. And she was also a mother, and the poetry that she produced was actually quite feminist for the time. Mm. And she, in my mind, was probably a bit of a radical and a bit of a visionary, but she was only ever known as the woman who probably slept with Shakespeare. So,
right.
So I thought, hang on, we need to change this this story a little bit.
Exactly.
So you called her, said she was only known as the Dark Lady of the Sonnets. Mm-hmm. What's that for people who don't know their Shakespeare history? Tell us what that's about.
Well, he had three volumes of sonnets, I guess you could say, and one section of them is dedicated to a beguiling woman who he describes in a very sort of sexual way, and it sounds like she was a musician, the way that he describes how she plays the lute, and then he describes her in other ways. He talks about her hair as sort of dark and wiry, he talks about her skin tone, he talks about just her other. And so that's why the Dark Lady of the Sonnets, it kind of came from that. And so there are a few other women that could potentially be it, but in terms of when you start putting together all the clues for it, and when she was around, she lived in the same area as him, around Bishopsgate, down Bankside she was probably around. The Bassanos were a musical family. They came from Italy. They were brought over by Henry VIII, who, they were very skilled. They were amazing musicians. They also made instruments, and he had them in his court. So they were... they were Italian, probably Jews, and there's even an argument to say that these they possibly came even from North Africa, and so they'd been brought into the country, and they were probably quite other in terms of where they were living and who they were, but it was a very interesting time because there were a lot of migrants and people fleeing wars at that time, and so actually London was this amazing melting pot, which is what's been fabulous about researching this, is actually there's a lot of parallels to be drawn for now, and the things she probably would have been up against were similar to what's happening now. You know, Elizabeth was expelling people based on their race, and there were people up in arms about these people coming over here and taking our jobs, and you know, it was really similar rhetoric was going on, and that's been fascinating to dig into. And so for me, There's not an awful lot of information about her, to be honest.
Just clarification, you mean Elizabeth the First?
Sorry, yes, Elizabeth the First.
Got it.
Yes, yeah. Yes, not our Elizabeth.
So this play, tell us a bit about the story. Is it like a life story? Is it a moment in time about her? What's the kind of, without obviously giving too much away?
Yeah, it's her life story. So we start when she's 7 years old and we carry on to when she dies, and that's when she's 76. She lived.
Wow,
that's
so a long time.
I know.
Yeah.
That's like 30 years over what the actual life expectancy
Absolutely.
Would have been.
And she had two kids, which again, you know, if you've had kids, your life expectancy goes down. And she outlived all the men in her life. And yeah, she was pretty amazing in that sense. And we know a few things about her, which is that she went to court later on in her life to fight for some inheritance after her husband died, and she represented herself in court, which is kind of cool.
Badass.
That she was exactly very badass, and she formed a school for girls and women. It's described as diverse women, and she ran that for a couple of years before she was kicked out of her for not paying the rent. She was kicked out of the building she was in. So there are little tiny little clues that she was doing some really interesting things, as well as publishing her poetry in the early 1600s. And interestingly, she published it a couple of years after the sonnets were published. And it feels like it's a retaliation to us, because if he had written these sonnets about her, and some of they're quite insulting, as well as passionate, and also at that time, one of the wonderful things about the Globe is that they've been giving me some amazing research people to talk to, but one of the things was that having your name on other people's lips was considered violating. And so for her, if people knew that she'd known Shakespeare and that were potentially talking about her because of these sonnets, it would have been awful for her at that time. And so there's a sense that she kind of went, right,
I'm gonna
publish my poetry. And I feel like she knew that if she published, she'd be remembered, because people disappear in history. So many people have disappeared in history, and so many women in particular. But at that time, when nobody wrote anything down, there was they didn't have journalists, you know, people writing diaries or anything like that. So to publish meant that you would be remembered. And I kind of feel like my Amelia, the one that I imagine, I think she knew that, and it means that, you know, 400-500 years down the line, there's a play being put on about her, which is
incredible.
Important.
I was laughing to myself. I was like, yeah, she was an olden day Taylor Swift, and I was trying to find a much better example of a pop culture or musician that has written music in retaliation for something that their boyfriend or other half has put out in a song. But I can't think of one right now. Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber. I have no idea. But I love the fact that she was like, hold on, are you writing about me?
Oh no.
Give me 2 years and I'm going to put something out.
Exactly.
What else do we know about her life? Because I'm fascinated by the fact that she lived so long. Did she live well? Was she a woman that indulged in love?
We don't know. It's probable she didn't towards the end of her life, just because she was fighting for money. She was going to the courts to fight for money. She ended up also looking after her grandkids because her son died, so she sort of took that on.
Okay.
There's not much we know about that. We do know that she visited a guy called Simon Forman, who was an astrologer at the time, and he was sort of like their form of a counsellor, really. But you'd go and sort of say, what's the future hold for me, and all these terrible things happening to me at the moment. And he would write things down. And so a lot of what we know about, and therefore what was being written about her, has come from his manuscripts. And they're fascinating because they do say things, they say certain things that probably are true. So they say things about how she was the mistress of Henry Carey, who was the Lord Chamberlain, who helped form the Chamberlain's men, and that she had a son and a daughter and several miscarriages and all these kind of quite interesting bits of information. But then he also calls her a harlot and a devil and a whore and all these terrible words. And Then he also notes that she wouldn't have sex with him.
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
And, you know, we read this, me and Nicole Charles, who's directing this, who I've researched from the very beginning with, and we sort of looked at it, and a lot of the books that have been written about have taken what he said as read, and you know, and he said things like, she's a social climber, she's obsessed with class, she just wants money, she wants her husband to get a knighthood, all these things. And so these have been written down as fact about her, and we kind of went, I don't think we're going to take that as fact, actually. And we're going to read between the lines, we're going to think about it as in, you know, what would it feel like for us to be there then, and how would we feel about all these things, and the fact that she wanted to be a writer. She was a talented, educated woman who was a brilliant writer, and she wasn't able to have the same platform as Shakespeare, for example. And how would she rail against that? How would she try and change that? And that's where our story came from.
It sounds like there's quite a lot of work that's gone into this. Did you have to kind of like do the research to get the story, then turn it into a screen, into a play? Or was there a story that you could then immediately work on as a play? Or
we've invented a lot.
Right, okay.
And that's because there isn't very much, and we've had to sort of try and work out what it is she could have done. Mm-hmm. And one of the benefits of having the research team there is to be able to sort of say, would she have been creating pamphlets to distribute around women to kind of give them advice about how to deal with their terrible husbands? Mm-hmm. And the research guy would say, our wonderful research guy, Will Tosh, who's amazing, he would say, well, do you know what? There's no evidence for this at all anywhere, but pamphlets were being made. She was very well placed for it. She was very educated. She could well have done that. Mm. So, yeah, go for it. And it's been really great to invent that and think about that. Because during the time that she was, her later life, there was a lot of stuff going on, workers' rights, union stuff. People were kind of galvanised and trying to change things. And she was pretty well placed to do that. And yes, there's no evidence for it, but we quite like the idea that she probably did.
Yeah.
Okay, a bit of a heaver. Is the Globe Theatre outdoors?
Yes.
Have you not been? Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, come.
I'm sure on like a school trip one time to see Othello or something, which is why I had a memory of it being outdoors. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Tell us more about the cast.
Our amazing cast. Shout out to the cast. They are brilliant. We got 13 women on stage.
Love it.
Yep.
Wow.
And they're just incredible. It was a very easy decision quite early on in the process, because originally I was like, I'm going to write a play about Amelia, and I'm not going to have Shakespeare in it, and I'm not going to have Henry Carey, I'm going to have no men. And then I was reading more, I was like, oh, actually it's really interesting, these lines of story that we can find with this, and her railing against them. And then I thought, well, if we're going to have men, let's have women play them. And that's been really delicious, because actually it brings a whole other level to it, and it's been exciting exploring that and what that's like, especially on the Globe stage where you often get all male casts. So but yeah, our cast are wonderful, and they're working so hard at the moment, and we're pushing towards our opening night on Friday, and everybody is just we're up against it, but we're gonna do it. It's gonna be amazing.
What's it like in the week running up to opening night, when you have created a play? Are you rewriting? Are you changing things even now?
Is it never done?
Well, that's a thing when you're writing. It's terrifying, because you are, I mean, I've been changing all the way through, the poor things. I've been having to deal with all my changes and cuts and stuff. And there will be changes. And during our previews, there will be changes. I mean, that's kind of how it has to happen. Because also there's lots of stuff we don't know, you know, how it will work when an audience is there. So suddenly we might go, do you know what? That whole scene, that just doesn't, we don't need it, because we get to that point in the next one and it's fine. And hey, get it out. Mm. You know, there is a bit of that, and flying by the seat of your pants is part of it. But I think that's the fun of it. But we'll see.
Morgan, it sounds fantastic. I can't wait to come and see it. Oh. For anyone else who feels the same, tell us when it's on, where they can find out details, all of that stuff.
Well, you can find out all the details on the Globe Theatre website. And we open on the 10th of August. There's actually only 11 shows, because it's in rep with all the other shows that they've got going on. Oh. So we close on the 1st of September. So there are 11 shows between the 10th of August and the 1st of September. A couple of matinees in there as well. So come and see it. It's going to be really fun.
Sounds amazing. It'll be great. We'll and be now's there. The time to go, because the weather is fabulous.
Exactly.
Morgan, thank you so much for joining us. Morgan Lloyd Malcolm, playwright and screenwriter. Coming up next, it is, of course, our badass balls ups.
We are going to be talking ayahuasca. We're going to be talking money. We need your help with our moral conundrums of the day. All of that here on Badass Women's Hour.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Sell. 1, 2, 3, 4! It is, of course, now time for our badass balls ups. This week, Emma, shall we start with you?
Yeah. Well, I'm taking over balls ups this week, haven't I?
Give us your first one.
Okay, so first one is, have you heard about ayahuasca? So I had a friend who went to Peru to do, and so ayahuasca is this plant-based
drug?
Like
hallucinogenic.
Sorry, that was the word I was trying to get out. But what is, it's not a hallucinogenic as in, you know, you go to a club and you do it. Basically, it's all about this sort of cleansing of your soul and dealing with your sort of, I don't know, your demons or your like emotional, mental well-being. And there's been a lot in sort of the medical press around how they're looking at hallucinogenics to treat depression and things. But this is an ancient ritual that's been done traditionally in Peru and is now becoming more and more popular. And a friend of mine, she's very into all her spiritual stuff. She went to Peru and she went and did a 5-day ceremony with this traditional tribe that do this ceremony. And she told me all about it. And it was absolutely fascinating. And I wondered if you'd heard about it, if you'd ever consider even trying it. I mean, it freaks the hell out of me. But although, you know, she did describe it as such an amazing experience.
I'm like, where do I sign?
Really, would you do it?
Give me the paperwork.
So you drink this stuff, right? Yep. So she went to this ceremony. Ladies. There's like 10 people and you all have your own bed and you're over 5 days and you can't eat over these 5 days either. So it's a proper like
again, don't
internal
tell me.
Cleansing. You drink.
I take my name off the list.
You drink this potion and basically these sort of Peruvian tribesmen, they diagnose you. So they've never spoken to you. You can't even speak English with them. And they diagnose you and they talk about what you need to smoke out. So you do the first cup. Everyone does it. You lie on the bed. Quite often you're sick. But apparently people who do it have this amazing cleansing and it really does deal with a lot of the inner energy.
So I'm all there for the energetic cleanse, and actually I am very intrigued by the use of hallucinogenics to work on mental health and to use it as a stimulant for the brain. Definitely,
we have to just caveat, we are not medical professions, we're not advising this. We're just talking about it because it's
absolutely not advising it, not least because it's illegal in the UK.
Yeah, yeah. We are not advising anything at all. And there is definitely no medical expertise around this table. But I also chant and praise the moon. So, I mean, let's just get some perspective here.
Yeah.
I think the essence of what you're talking about is great. The not eating and going to Peru, I would not be down for. Yeah. If they said it was in Ibiza or Madrid.
Well, I actually, I've got another friend of mine, and her and her husband right. have set up an ayahuasca retreat in Mallorca, and they are trained by these people in Peru.
Okay, so I'll go to that is one because I guess you can still drink.
Oh, I don't know. No idea.
Ladies, you've both completely lost the plot. What is going on here?
Have we?
Yes, you're taking some random substance handed to you by a man who is describing himself as a medicine man. You are drinking it. It makes you vomit. You don't know what you're doing for 5 days. You're in the jungle surrounded by strangers. What is wrong with you?
I'm not. But everyone, not everyone, but people I've known who've done it have said it's a really powerful, profound experience.
Uh-huh. And if people said it's a really powerful, profound experience to jump off a cliff, would you do that too?
No, woman who wants to go to Costa Rica by herself for New Year's. Thanks very much.
Not to take any ayahuasca, but yes.
I think there is something about being one with the elements in nature. It's a plant. I'm all for it.
I think it's very interesting. I don't think we really realise how powerful the mind is.
Exactly.
And I do think there's something about, I've never been one to get into anything like that, but I do, some of these hallucinogenics, I do wonder how the brain works and how they affect the world.
But well, I'll tell you what happened was in the 1970s, they did lots and lots of experiments with hallucinogenics and how they affected the brain, and people went crazy.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't use them in medicine, because they're not good for you. And that's why it's illegal, because the people that try to look into these things go, do we want a drug which is going to give people weird dreams and make them sick?
Yeah.
No,
I'm
we don't.
Just saying.
Anyway, it's fascinating.
That, yes, exploring the edges of your mind might be an interesting thing to do.
It is. Do it with a therapist. So, my badass balls up of the week. So, in the last few years, I have noticed this weird thing that has happened between me and my other single girlfriends. So, not so much my coupled up friends, but me and my single girlfriends, which was about 3 years ago, we were all earning very much the same amount of money. And in the last year or so, I'm earning a bit more than them. And because I'm now earning a bit more money, I want to do all the things that I couldn't do when I didn't have the money to do them. Like go to the occasional expensive restaurant, upgrade my hotel when I go away, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. But because I don't have another half to chip in on it, and because my girlfriends who are on similar earning levels randomly seem to be in relationships, so they're chipping in on their other half's holidays, it's got a bit awkward with my single girlfriends. And I've done that thing where I say to them, you know, I'll pay or I'll pick it up. But a lot of sometimes I can't afford to do both of us. So, you know, I can afford to do me, but it's still a stretch for me. So another person. And also sometimes for them, it's really awkward and they feel a bit uncomfortable. And it's just got a bit weird and I don't know how to handle it. Do I keep saying, don't worry, I'll pick it up? Do I just say, don't worry, I don't want to go there. We can just go to the travel lodge. What do I do, ladies?
How important is it for you to do these expensive things?
It's not important, but I think it's experiences. You want some life experiences. So I would like to. It's not like if I don't want to lose my friends over it, definitely. But it would be nice to have.
And I'm guessing it's not about doing expensive things, as you said. It's about if you can afford the luxury or you can afford a better room. Mm-hmm. Or you can afford to eat, you know, a nicer meal.
Yeah.
Then why not? I think in some cases you might just have to suck it up if you want to have that experience. And that's what I do. If I want to go somewhere and I'm going with a friend who can't afford it, then it's like, don't even sweat it. It's on me. I don't blink twice about spending money on good food or an experience I want to have. The issue comes if they expect that that is the case all the time. But we're going away for my birthday and we're going to Ibiza and we made a plan in January. So I said, well, everyone needs to put down, Ibiza's not cheap.
No,
so everyone needs to put down £50, £100 a month, whatever you can afford, so that when we get there, you're okay spending the sort of money we need to spend to do the sorts of things that as a group we want to do. And that's because everyone there has varying levels of income.
That's good. So you've set everybody's expectations about that trip. That's a good
everyone
thing.
Ibiza's one of those places you need at least €150 a day at a minimum.
Yeah. So if you haven't got that, then you're not in.
But from January, if you want to come to save the money, you've got enough notice, like buy your flight, and just make sure everyone is prepared, so everyone knows what the expectation is.
Would you do, if you had different kind of amounts within the group, would you say, actually, we know that you're earning twice as much, so when we go out for dinner, we'll get 2/3 and you get a third?
So definitely I have done that on bills, but I wouldn't put it on my other friends. It depends on what the friendship group is. Like, sometimes I would just like take off one, or the other thing, you know, when you go out with friends and some don't drink and some do. And so for the friends that don't drink, it's saying, being very clear to say, actually, you just take that bit and we'll split everything else. Or if we're out and you get that sense that the person that isn't earning a lot of money is getting really nervous about the bill, it's like, you know, don't worry. Let everyone make sure that, you know, we pick up a bit more. It's fine.
What do you do, Emma, if your friends get to the point where you want to do something, you're like, I don't even want to do it. I know it's expensive. I'm just going to pay for it. Don't worry about it. And they find that a bit awkward.
So actually, that happened to me last night. So I've got a friend of mine. She's freelance and a lot of her contracts got put on hold. So money was a bit tight. You know, she's also got a family and we were meeting. You know, she was in London for a few days. We were meeting for dinner. And I said, right, I'm going to meet you here at this place. I'm buying, and we're not going to discuss it, because I was like, I really want to see her for dinner. I know a really nice place that we can go that will be expensive, but it's on a rooftop. It's a lovely London evening. Yeah. Like, you know, let's go there. And, you know, she said yes and we went. And then when it came to pay, she got her card out and I actually refused to take the money. And I think she was a bit uncomfortable, but I was a bit like, look, I just wanted to see you for dinner. I knew this would be lovely because it's a summer evening and it's a rooftop. For me, I'm not really worried about the money because it was about the experience. It was about you. We don't see each other all the time. And she did accept it. But, you know, I think she is a bit uncomfortable about it. But that's why I kind of said to her, look, I said, look, if it was a date and I was your partner and I've decided where we're going to go and I've dictated where we're going to go and it's somewhere expensive, I would expect that person to pay for me. Like, because I think you can't, you know, if I expected to go halves, then I would have been much more about us having a discussion about where we would like to go that would meet. But because I wanted to eat there, I felt like it was only okay for me to pick up the bill for that.
But having been on the receiving end of this, when I was like skin poor, I was about to swear there, skin poor, you know, sort of a year ago, I can't even remember how long it was. You guys were picking up a bill. Yeah. Like, you're like, don't worry about it. You don't even drink Prosecco. And you're like, I know you need a bottle of Prosecco. We'll just pay for it.
Yeah.
And again, it swings in roundabouts. And I think that is the beauty of friendship, no? You understand the situation that someone's in. You know what they need. And almost, it's not a thing to do it.
And there's a fine
them.
Line between somebody like my friend. Yes, she was a bit uncomfortable, but ultimately, my friend would never take advantage of that. And I do think, you know, when people are like, "Oh, it's all right. Well, I'll go out of Harriet because I know she'll pick up the bill."
Yeah.
And I think that's when it's not okay, and then it's not fun. But I think sometimes if you really want to do it, I feel like as mates, we should just accept it a bit more, right? Because I feel like we're all a bit uncomfortable of accepting somebody else paying. But it's like, actually,
I know, I wasn't. I accepted you not buying the Prosecco.
No, but you know what? But most of the time, again, for me, it was about the experience. Yeah. It's like, we're here. What are we going to do? Are we going to just sit here and not make the most of this moment? Because, you know, Nat, rightly so, wanted to be conscious of her spending. And I respected that. But equally, it's like, well, life's too short. Let's just get a bottle in. You know?
Life is too short.
So that, yeah, good, I point. Think that's the headline.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm just going to ride on over it. I'll just be like, I've got it. We're fine.
Yeah, I would. You know, maybe you do it slightly less because it's more expensive, but I wouldn't miss out on the experience because somebody else can afford to do it. I'd just,
Would you rather go alone? That's the alternative to not do it with her and go alone. But would you have a
better time? So there are some things which I'm totally happy doing alone. So I'm totally happy going to an expensive hotel by myself for a weekend. Like, that's fine. Even though I would like to say that all hotels need to have a single person supplement, just FYI. But
explain a single person supplement, because usually I find we pay more as a single person.
Yeah. So a single person supplement is when they say it's 2/3 for if you're by yourself. Most hotels do not do that.
Right.
But like, if I wanted to go, so the thing that I really want to do at the moment, but like nobody wants to do it, and it is ridiculously expensive, I really want to go to the Fat Duck for dinner.
Oh, let's go. Do you know what? My friend I went out of last night, she wants to go. Just let's all go.
Okay.
We'll go, the three of us.
What's the Fat Duck?
Okay. The Heston Blumenthal. Yeah. Where they feed you basically your life history.
It's very expensive. You're talking £400 a head, including wine.
But is it like small bits of food?
Well, yeah, but there's loads of it.
It's loads of it.
You won't leave hungry. You won't leave hungry. But there's bread on the side. Let's go.
Okay, we'll go. Done. But we have to get on to our next Balls Up Now, because it's a pressing problem that is affecting women the UK over.
Yes.
Emma, tell us what it is.
Well, there was an article that came back in Vogue about is the bush back, talking about vaginal hair. And it just got me thinking about a modern day dilemma that I've been experiencing in my life, that perhaps I haven't shared with you before.
No, you have.
My whole thing is, right, you know, we all like to be on trend. I take an interest in fashion and style, right? And as you get older, you start to get a bit more aware of, well, I don't know, I'm very conscious that I don't want to be that out of touch person. I don't want to look like that person who still looks like a 1992 throwback. And then I became very conscious about how the style that I was doing my pubic hair could actually give away my age. Not that I'm trying to look younger, but I just want to stay relevant, Harriet. So I was a bit like, I remember once going for a wax about 12 months ago, because I suddenly thought, oh god, I was having a Brazilian, and I was like, but maybe not everybody else is having Brazilians. Like, I don't know what's going on down there, because I can't see it. You can see it with fashion, can't you? Everyone's walking down the street, but people are not walking down the street with their vaginas out, so you can go, oh yeah, it's definitely a Hollywood this season. Anyway, my waxer said that everybody was having Hollywoods, so I did Hollywoods. Yeah. Don't recommend them. No, anyway, the bush is back, and I'm really excited about that, because I feel like I'm on trend.
I'm there, all off Hollywood.
So
no,
I
fix your orgasm.
I think this it might be a scam from waxers, because that's what they say to me all the time. They're like, oh, it's Hollywood. Everyone has Hollywood. And yeah, it is, but it's 20 quid more expensive than just an average bikini wax. So yeah, of course you want me to get that one. Of course you do.
I just prefer it all off.
Do you?
Yeah. I feel like we've had this conversation before.
The regrowth.
Probably not on
the regrowth of a Hollywood and a Brazilian. Oh my goodness.
The pain.
The 4 days in.
No. Okay, so right. I'm that weird person that absolutely loves getting waxed. I find it quite therapeutic.
I like getting waxed.
You what?
I don't like the regrowth.
Yeah, I find I don't even find it painful. It's not a pain to me. It's just, it's almost like, that's a bit like having the sides of my hair shaved every week. It's that thing of sort of the cleanse.
I like it. I do like
it. It's a very nice feeling.
What is
feeling
wrong with you both?
It's good.
Which
I'll tell
is
you
why
what.
I have it all off.
Are you on ayahuasca while you're getting waxed?
Well, I'll tell you what I am on. I'm on Nurofen. If you take some Nurofen before you wax, it just takes the edge off.
So I don't see any of that. Our producer's like, what are you talking about? No, seriously, if you get into the zone
you
with
just like the pain,
with a wax. And that feeling of just being cleansed, it's like cleanse and cleanse.
But it's not. Yeah. It's like rip and rip. No, that's what it is.
If you go to a good waxing place and you get a good waxer, you know the ones that are like, they really know quick.
So I get a Lycan wax, so sugar wax. It gets all the hairs in there. There's no bad. So I don't have any, what's the, like, bumps or anything like that.
But
ingrown hairs. I also had laser hair removal, so the hair's just different. Fine. Anyway, yeah.
Don't you find is this not just another act of
producer
patriarchal
says it hurts like
oppression?
Hell.
No,
I like having a hair-free bush.
No, not to-
well,
not
it's
Hollywood.
A bush. It's not a bush.
Not Hollywood.
It's like
a hair-free vagina, no bush.
I've got a custom style.
Yeah. So explain your custom style.
Well, because I've had Brazilians, I've had Hollywoods, and what I realise is Brazilians and Hollywoods affect my orgasms.
You keep saying
in a negative manner.
In a negative way, In a negative way.
You have some hair.
Yeah, definitely. So I have a custom request. So I book in for a Brazilian, and then they have strict instructions when I'm in there, what bits to leave and what bits to remove. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think we can have trends around our pubic hair, ladies. I just want us to reclaim the bush.
Do you know what? I think
of all the money you could save. We could all go to bloody the Fat Duck with Heston Blumenthal on the money we spend on waxing. That's what we could be doing.
I like not having any hair. I like just gone.
I like to just be neat, really, you know?
Just gone.
Well, I think you're off trend because the bush is back. That's what Vogue says. Not on trend anymore.
They actually had a great diagram of the bush through the ages, which I really... do check it out, listeners. It's a lovely timeline of styles.
Badass Women's Hour XL on Talk Radio.
She'll get you talking.
Before we leave you, are we going to have a badass principle of the week this week?
The badass principle this week is just vagina. Because...
Can it be vagina?
Yes.
Can I just say... It's an action word with it.
Yeah, because how can you be vagina? Be more vagina?
You didn't let me finish.
That's true, I didn't. Sorry.
So, I'm allowed to break the rules on the principles, and I'm breaking the rules, so there is no action word. Because you were talking about the museum, the Vagina Museum earlier, and we realised just how wonderful the vagina is on all mammals, I think we need to do more research and be talking about it. And then you started talking about your bush. And so, I think we should be talking about that even more. So this is just a week of vagina.
Be more vagina.
No action words required, just vagina.
Should it not be like vagina research? Like go away and find out one fun fact about the vagina and tweet us and tell us at Badass Women's Hour HR.
There we go, if you want.
Yeah. That was smooth radio presenting.
Barely didn't notice.
I was on to you. Great work. Great work.
This has been Badass Women's Hour's Best Bits. If you liked it, please do rate, review and subscribe us. We love that. 5 stars. Or come chat to us on social media. You can find us at Badass Women's Hour HR, at Badass Women's Hour, or come talk to us individually. I'm at Harriet Minter.
At Emma Sexton.
And
at Nat D. Campbell.
And we'll be here again next week, same time, same place.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.